Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
My name is Ashton, and this is Emma.
That's Emma the Bear.
If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not, sucks to be you.
It's a Jungleskog from IKEA.
A Jungleskog. She's magnificent. Can you lift her up to show sort of the full heft of Emma? There's Emma.
She's a bit like a black cat in that she doesn't video that well. She doesn't photograph well.
She didn't come through on stream very well last
night.
She's
the kind of thing that would, you know, they need a bit more help in the shelters, the Jungleskog shelters, to be rescued.
We've got very bad neck
posture.
Support.
And yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She dummy thick, though.
She keeps knocking things over.
She has knocked over several things. It wasn't Ashton's fault. It was Emma's fault.
You might say she's bear thick.
She's hard to maneuver.
You might. Mm. You might say
I mean,
that.
I would, but it's up to you guys whether you would also say the same thing.
This is our video game podcast where we talk about video game things. Each and every week, we are sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. This week, Ashton has the ad read in front of her. Whenever you're ready, Ashton. And Emma.
Thank you. It's a brand new game. Well, not brand new. It's kind of new.
So it's not brand new.
It's kind of brand new.
So it's kind of new.
It's a new game for some people, right. But it's not always new.
Okay.
Conservatives hate it.
Ooh,
the Liberals are taking over. It's annoying TERFs everywhere by writing novels starring underrepresented minorities.
Okay.
Being remastered this year.
Yeah.
It's Alan Woke.
That's great.
I love that.
I can't wait.
I've been waiting to play Alan Woke for a very long time.
Conservatives hate him.
Alan Woke.
Local dad finds one easy trick for white teeth. Yeah. Conservatives hate him.
Click here to find out more. When's it out? What platforms?
It's coming out on all platforms except
yours.
If you are a conservative, you can't.
It knows. You put the disc in.
It won't work.
It's too Tory.
Sorry.
No thanks.
Not allowed.
But it's not. It's because it's not real.
What? Oh, what?
Oh,
that's not.
Unfortunately. It got vetoed by the government. So.
Video gammons.
So it will never come out, unfortunately.
Stroking Emma's fur the wrong way.
Oh, don't do that.
They should hate. That's what cats hate that. And so do bears.
Cats hate that. And so do bears.
And conservatives
approved
hate
her. Approved by cats and bears. No, we are not sponsored by Alan Woke, unfortunately, as much as I wish we were. Mm. We are sponsored by our wonderful patrons, of course, over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where we've got plenty of tiers available. But at the $1 tier, you can support us and submit questions to this podcast. That is where we source podcast questions from exclusively.
Mm.
And we are going to be changing up the tiers soon. So if you are a lapsed patron supporter, when can people expect some more news on that, Peter?
We believe that, well, the current plan, all being well, it'll be sort of launching around the turn of the month.
The turn of the month.
Just as it starts getting spooky. So perhaps end of September, start of October.
Do you reckon we'll still be having heat waves?
Oh, that would be nice.
Would it?
Yeah.
I want to wear big coats now.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a coat mood. I've got so many coats and so few shorts.
I bought some new shorts, so I'm looking for any excuse to wear them at the moment.
bought some new shorts in September.
I bought them in August. Good choice. But I've only had one chance to wear them.
You're in the pocket of big summer, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Big global warming.
I'm in big summer energy right now, unfortunately. Okay.
I'm enjoying it.
Well, at least someone's liking it. I hate it.
But new Patreon tiers coming soon, tail end of September, start of October. We will, almost without a doubt, well, without any doubt, actually, just to put your mind at rest, be keeping the $1 tier for asking questions on the
$1
podcast.
Tier is
not
remaining.
Going anywhere. So.
But there will be additional podcast-related rewards for higher tiers.
Yes.
So do consider supporting them of completely blind faith currently, because we've not told you what they are.
No.
But there will be things that may be pertinent to your interests if perhaps you are someone who only... consumes the Triple Jump podcast and no other content that we do. I imagine there's at least a few people who do that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Come watch our videos. That's why we're here.
They're really good.
Before we get into the questions and the meat of the podcast, or the corn of the podcast, depending on your dietary restrictions, there's something else we need to cover, isn't there?
Yes, it's called triplejump.gg.
Hello, everyone. As well as our extremely real and totally not fictitious in any way sponsor, we're officially partnered with PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo to sell their codes through our own website, triplejump.gg.
Here you can get everything from topping up your digital wallets to PlayStation Plus, Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Game Pass, and Nintendo Switch Online subscriptions, as well as Minecraft Mine Coins. Mine Coins, they'll be your coins any minute.
Nice one, Peter.
Yeah, thanks very much.
It's 100% legitimate, directly supports us, and provides you with the delightful digital currencies you're going to buy anyway. Visit triplejump.gg to browse our full stock.
Triplejump.gg. This is a real sponsor.
It's time for question one, everyone.
That was a really long pause. I hope Kieran keeps all of it in.
Yeah. This is from Callum Straw. And Callum says, hey guys, what changes to Twitch are you hoping to see come, as a result of the day off Twitch? And do you believe the movement was successful in getting its message across that Twitch needs to do better? I hope this pushes Twitch to help creators in removing hate from its platform, but with content creators needing to take such drastic action to try and get Twitch's attention, I'm not holding my breath for the necessary changes to be made. Cheers, Callum.
Thank you, Callum,
for asking that question. Hot topic.
We took part in this, didn't we?
We did.
Can you explain what hate raids are?
Well, only barely, because, you know, I'm sort of not an arsehole, therefore...
Would you like Emma?
Barely.
Like
no,
Emma
very good. Emma, I mean, my understanding is that people do raids sometimes with the use of bots as well to then just be sort of abusive towards streamers. And there's quite, in a way, there's little you can do about it. Because you can either, if you want to turn off raids, which I imagine is an option on Twitch, is it not at all?
I don't think so.
Well, I was going to say, even if it is, then you're having to just not have any raids at all, which are actually a really useful thing for streamers. But if you can't even turn them off whatsoever.
I don't think you can. I think that was
madness.
One of the demands.
No, yeah, right. Well, yeah, it should be an option if that's what you want to do.
But it's a bit more insidious than that, isn't it, Ashton?
Yeah, so they're joining chats and putting really hateful remarks.
Oh,
so they're
joining
LGBTQ plus creators who've got the tag, or black creators, or any BIPOC creators are being targeted with really hateful speech and just generally like slurs and horrible things. They're also targeting channels when they're offline by putting that in the chat, reporting them for having that in the chat, and then getting their channel taken down, which Twitch takes about a month to get the channel back reinstated, and for some people it's their livelihood. They're also follow botting, and these follows have like really horrible names and are just generally horrible things. But it's like probably a lot of people have gone through it and experienced it, and there's not really a lot that you can do to kind of stop it. So yeah, that's why people were campaigning against the day off Twitch, or they were doing the day off Twitch to campaign against
fact that people's channels are actually getting taken down because people are reporting them for like, oh, these people aren't moderating their own chat, and you know, their community is toxic, because those people are actually the ones sending in hate speech.
Yeah, so everyone was like, leave your channel on emo only mode, so if people join it, they can't like report you for having hate speech in it. So it was really, really horrible thing for a lot of people to go through.
Absolutely. And in answer to Callum's question, I mean, first off, no, they've not done anything yet. really, as far as I'm aware.
They just pointed people in the direction of the existing material online to help them.
They have, yeah.
Not going to do
anything. I've got a couple of tweets here that Twitch put out not so long ago. I think it was post day off Twitch. August the 20th. Okay, this was pre-day off Twitch.
Yeah, because it was last Wednesday, which was the 1st of September.
Yeah, and Twitch initially, before day off Twitch happened, said no one should have to experience malicious and hateful attacks based on who they are or what they stand for. This is not the community we want on Twitch, and we want you to know we are working hard to make Twitch a safer place for creators. They continue, in the meantime, please keep reporting egregious attacks. It helps us identify and remove bad actors and their networks and update tools as behaviors evolve. These changes may not be visible, but we are making them daily. I mean, if they're not visible, it's not a great deal of help right now. No. I imagine what they're implying there is that they're coming up with stuff on the back end that stops people from being able to do that in the first place, rather than like letting streamers react to it. But I heard you saying earlier, Ashton, that there's at least Streamlabs have now got
a panic button. Pre-day off Twitch, when it was all sort of coming out, Streamlabs basically released a thing on their software that was like, if you press this button, it will stop any follow alerts that will just go down. Your chat immediately goes into email only mode, and it will basically just kind of shut everything down to stop you from having to see any of it. And a couple of people were saying that they've already got panic buttons like installed in their own sort of format of like, they press this button and it just turns everything off.
Like third parties.
Yeah, or they've just like set up a certain scene that's literally just like nothing can come up. But yeah, so they put that out before a day off Twitch. Annoyingly, like Peter was saying, not a lot has actually happened, which is kind of unfortunately what I was expecting. Well, the only thing that has happened is that it's September on Twitch, and that's basically all I've seen from Twitch since the 1st of September. It's the fact that subs are £3 cheaper, or like 30% cheaper. Great, fantastic. But people are still getting hate rated. So yeah,
I've seen that some high profile Twitch streamers have just said we're leaving the platform, which is good.
Some of them are. Some of them are going over to YouTube, or people have said, don't sub to me, don't donate to me via Twitch, don't give me bits, donate via, if you want to support my channel, donate to me via the link, and we'll use, I think they're called like bit LLY emotes, so you can still use emotes on your chat without having to have subs. So people have just said, don't donate to me via Twitch, donate to me via a third party platform so that I can still stream, but Twitch doesn't get any money. So yeah, that's one thing people have been trying to do. But it's, the thing is, it's the same thing with a lot of like things like this, is that it's a big thing and a lot of people participated, but a bunch of people weren't even have any idea what was happening. There were still people that were streaming and not really talking about it. And there was, which is fine, because not everyone knew it's going to be on. But
or
some
could
of like,
afford to take a day
or
off.
Or could afford to take a day off. But some of the big streamers, like I think Jay from The Inbetweeners, you know that guy, he streams on Twitch. I think he was streaming that day, which, I mean, fine if that's, he didn't see the point in doing it. But if you've got these big channels that aren't doing it, then these people that follow him or follow these other people are not going to know, and they're not going to care. So it's hard to like kind of make a difference when there's people that kind of, unless you have everyone, Twitch isn't going to notice. But you might have noticed that one day there was nothing, but yeah, there wasn't an awful lot.
Yeah, sorry to just completely distract, but our recording software is kind of freaking out a bit. I don't know why it's doing that. I'm really worried we're going to lose the recording. So what we might do is quickly stop then resume, and we'll continue our conversation. We'll be right back. And we're back. So as we were saying, everything's fine now, we hope, about the hate raids and stuff. Obviously disgusting, despicable. Something does need to be done. I would argue that it has been successful in that Twitch cannot ignore it. And while there may not be a solution right now, you've got to believe that they're working on something, even if it's as simple as just giving people the option to disable raids, because that would practically eliminate most of the issues. And equally, I do feel perhaps, you know, while they are responsible in terms of it's their platform, I do feel a little bit of sympathy for Twitch, because they are having to combat bots that can't really, as they said in an email that they actually sent to us and a lot of other people who are on the platform, these bots and these hateful people are highly motivated,
yeah,
which means they will find new ways to be assholes.
Yeah.
And so I have faith that Twitch will fix this, but it needs to happen soon. And if they are working on these, you know, subtle things behind the scenes to try and stop it at the source, like you pointed out, Peter, yeah, they need to communicate that better.
They should say so, yeah.
Because people are just assuming they're not doing anything. I don't think they're not doing anything, but if they are doing stuff, even if it's subtle, they need to let people know so people don't feel like they're being ignored.
Yeah, they've not done anything visible is the issue at the moment.
Well, someone was saying that video that you sent, the Fox News video of that like VTuber talking on the news, was they were saying that you don't even need to verify your email to make a Twitch account, which means that some emails have got like hundreds of Twitch accounts, which means they can do the raid because they've literally made hundreds of bots with the same verification, because they don't have to verify
it. Bonkers, they don't have to verify.
Yeah,
it's insane.
I also think that Twitch needs to offer some kind of like pastoral support to like people who get these hate raids, because to suddenly have like, I don't know, like 150 people join your chat and then start calling you slurs is quite damaging for a lot of people. And I think that if you know this is going on, you need to offer streamers some kind of support system, because it's a duty if you've got a platform that you care for the people that use your platform, and
they're making you money.
They're making you money. So
it's worth pointing out that obviously everything we've said so far is up to the time of recording. It's Wednesday the what is it today?
8th.
The 8th. Corner.
So, you know, perhaps in the next few days there might be some announcement of, oh, we've done this, we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're sitting there watching or listening, thinking, they have actually done some stuff, don't be so mean.
Google bought Twitch on Friday and they closed it down.
Then,
it's just YouTube gaming.
It's subject to change in the next few days. But,
this is part of the issue with recording early. And this week we're recording extra early.
Yeah.
So yes, the information may be outdated, but that is the current state of things.
Yeah, at the moment, things don't look that much different. But you're right. And that's one other thing we should say as well, is that even though we're saying, oh, you know, we're maybe feeling a bit pessimistic about whether changes will be made or how fast they'll be made, this is a good example of something where the logic that we were using in the previous podcast doesn't apply. I can't remember exactly what it was we were talking about. Oh, it was about console wars.
Xbox, PlayStation,
and we were saying, you know, there's not much that can be done about it, so the best thing is to just ignore it.
This but is the
we
opposite.
Said, we said there and then that logic doesn't always apply in every situation.
No.
And this is one where we're saying, yeah, okay, we're not perhaps super optimistic about the changes being made, but...
But if it doesn't, then we need to talk about it.
Things like Day Off Twitch should happen, and there should be an active effort on the part of the user and consumer to have changes made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, now it's time to move on to a section that we've never done before.
Never.
It is called What We Playin'?
Huh?
It's What We Play in Time. Time to talk about what we playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
I have now played well over 24 hours of Orcs Must Die 3. I think I've played 27 hours now. I've just really enjoyed it.
Is that why you did an extra half an hour of sleep this morning?
I didn't actually play it last night, but yeah, maybe it caught up on me, some of the late nights. But wow, I've really enjoyed it so much. And, you know, I talk a lot about how great I think this game is. And I'm not for one minute trying to say that it's like game of the year material or that like the majority of our audience would really enjoy it. Because I imagine a great deal of them would think, not really my cup of tea. You know, it's not exactly AAA. But I just find it so satisfying. Building a little maze, putting tar all over the floor so that they're really slow. Through the maze super slow, which gives my traps time to reset.
Oh, man.
Got arrow shooters on the walls.
Jesus.
Got lasers coming down from the ceiling. It's sort of medieval fantasy, but there are lasers now, which is kind of cool.
Right.
Lasers.
It's great. And there's all these different types of mobs coming at you. There's fast ones that run real quick but are weak. There's some of them have bombs on their backs and they'll blow up your barricades.
Bombles
come at you. The nibblers will get you.
Gloop.
Yeah, you can put gloop down.
Freeze.
And you can freeze them. There's all kinds of spells you can cast and weapons you can use. Oh, it's just so good. And I've finished the main campaign now. Finished that a couple of days ago.
All the orcs have died?
All the orcs have... Well, no. They're an unstoppable force of nature and they will always be back.
They breed like rabbits.
They do
breed like rabbits. but you, when you finish the main campaign, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for any big Orcs Must Die story fans. You unlock a whole group of other characters after the main campaign, and then there's a separate side campaign of about 5 or 6 missions. And in that one, you play as one of these other characters, and you have to go up against some new enemies and stuff. So it's like a little short extra bolt-on side story, but that's what I'm working through now, and it's pretty flipping hard.
How does it compare to 1 and 2?
I would say it is in no way worse than 1 or 2. It's different in some ways. I found it a bit more difficult in places, but I think some of the voice acting is actually a bit irritating. This mate. So yeah, I find one of the new characters kind of, he's not a very good actor. He's this new apprentice war mage, they're called. That's the profession that these people are. And
I think you mean warrior magician.
Warrior magician, yes. Yeah,
magic soldier.
And he's just kind of a bit irritating, and he's sort of, he's going, huh, wow, I sure love building traps. Huh, yeah, oh, I'm having a great time. And it's just a bit much, really. God, please, just let me enjoy the game.
Enjoy the genocide.
Exactly. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and I can't wait to play even more of it. And even when I finish this side story, I've then got endless mode, which is just horde mode that goes on and on and on until you die. Mm-hmm. And there are weekly challenges that they set up where you have to use like very specific loadouts of like certain traps and stuff and combine them in weird ways. So I'll be playing this forever. No, I probably won't be, but
you will.
I'll be playing for it for weeks, I think. I'll try and play something else as well, though, so I've got something to talk about, but I'm not promising. So that's what I've been playing, just that. Ashton.
Why is Drippy on your paper?
Yeah, well, here we go.
I was going to talk about that in a minute. Don't spoil it.
Well, why did you?
Don't spoil it.
There's clip art on your paper.
It's not clip art.
I don't have clip art on my paper.
Look.
What?
Can I just say what I was going to say?
Yeah, fine, I guess.
Oh, God. I played Horizon Zero Dawn.
With Drippy in it?
No. I played Horizon Zero Dawn a lot, but then last night, I played a bit of Ni No Kuni for the first time. I played about the first hour, which is predominantly cutscenes. so I just watched it for the first hour, and then I fell asleep. Have you played Ni No Kuni before?
I don't Ni No Kuni in my life.
Have you played
it? I was so excited for Ni No Nuna before it came out.
Naughty Nunu. <Nunu.
laughs> Yes, yeah, Nunu from Teletubbies.
Yeah.
That I bought the extremely valuable PS3 collector's edition,
I
have a little Drippy. Like a little soft toy.
I beg your pardon.
I have a little Drippy.
Right. Don't worry.
Okay.
And it's just been sat on a box on my shelf since it came out, because I think it was coming out when I was doing exams at university.
Right.
And I just never played it, and I've always wanted to.
Okay. So I played it last night. And do you know what Mr. Drippy sounds like?
Yeah, he's Welsh.
Why did you say that? I was going to ask Peter if he knew what he was going to sound like. And then I was going to ask if he knew what he sounded like. I was like, this is what it looks like.
Don't
what do you think?
Don't ask me questions, Ashton, if you don't want answers.
You ruined everything fun.
The rage. I was you ruined everything fun, specifically.
If Peter could tell me what he thinks Mr. Drippy sounds like. Because when he started to, I had us playing the game unmuted for a bit because I was watching something else while I was playing it. And then I unmuted the game and was greeted with Mr. Drippy's voice. And I was like, huh? What?
Well, Peter, he's not Welsh.
He's not Welsh.
He's not Welsh.
He is very Welsh. So You've ruined it now.
Are you going to do an impression?
No, I'm not now because I was going
were
to.
Were you going to do an impression?
I was, and now I'm not going to.
Emma would like to hear the impression.
I don't care. I'm really upset.
You see how this is breaking down? Ashton asked me a question and I answered it, and that was apparently.
I was just to go, yeah, and then I could have gone.
Would you like me to offend half of Wales now and do an impression of Mr. Drippy, having never heard his voice? Which makes me think you must be the one who we fairies call the pure. It's not very good, is
That's
it?
That's Geordie.
It's hard not to do Geordie when I do any accent.
How we are dripping like
the pure hearted one. There we go. That was
bad.
All right.
That was
the
okay
reason because I put a quote and I was going to ask Peter how to say how he thinks Drippy sounds and then tell him that he sounds just like Rod Gilbert.
I'd have said he looking
at
him.
Because he says pure rather than pure. And pure. Because rather than pure, he says pure. Mm. And it made me laugh.
I'd have guessed looking at Mr. Drippy. And for those who don't know what Mr. Drippy looks like, can you see him there? Just showing your notes to the world, Ashley.
That's okay.
I'd have thought he's a little bit kind of Mickey Mousey, a bit sort of...
Yeah, that's what I thought when I was playing it on mute. And then I unmuted it and I was like...
Sorry, this is a really cutscene-heavy game that you're not listening to the sound.
Yeah, it's because I was kind of doing something at the time, so I was just reading the subtitles.
Right, okay.
And then I unmuted it and I was very surprised.
Treated to Rod.
Rod Gilbert, yeah.
Very good.
Well, Ben, what have you been playing?
Yeah.
There was nothing interesting and fun.
Question one, what have you been playing? People. Question two, why do you ruin everything fun?
Am I allowed to speak now?
Yeah, you're allowed to speak. I didn't say you could speak.
I don't know what you were expecting to happen when you asked me a question that I knew the answer to.
Yes. I just thought you'd say, yeah. And then I didn't know if you'd say, because I thought...
Have you heard Drippy's voice? Yeah, he's well.
Yeah. Idiot.
Been playing, Ben?
I've been playing Judgment, the Yakuza spin-off series. That's right. You hide behind that bear.
Yeah.
I think by the time the podcast releases, I will have finished it.
Okay.
Because I'm right at the end now. And I have really enjoyed it. I think it's a great game. I will say that this is not distracting at all. I will say that the tailing mechanic, which is something that the game employs quite often, it's like a little mini game kind of thing that it makes you do.
Everyone loves tailing in games.
Yes, they do. Assassin's Creed. Hide in specific places that are blue, you can hide. And they'll turn around like every two paces and go,
Yeah. Like everyone does when they're walking along.
Can you see me?
Sometimes they'll double back just to be annoying. And it's not very fun.
If you get too far away, which is like if you try and go a different route to avoid being seen, it's like, you're going to lose the turn.
Yeah, if you break line of sight, even if you just manipulate the camera so that you can't see them anymore because they're behind something, it goes, quick, they've gone. Where are they?
So the corner game.
When they go on way too long and they're really boring. Like I don't think I've failed one, but they're just, every time it happens, I'm like, oh, God, another tailing moment. But that's like one small part of an otherwise very good game. It's also, and I'm starting to realize that perhaps this is just something endemic to Japanese developed games.
Yeah.
Where's Ashton gone?
I completely disappear behind her.
Especially those that have been localized to the West. They do have a habit of just explaining the same thing over and over and over again to the point where there's no subtlety in this game at all, and it will explain everything multiple times, which does have me almost checking my watch every now and then.
Right.
If I had a watch, like, come on, I get it. We will understand what's going on here. Let's move along. No, we haven't explained it to this character yet. They don't know what's going on. So it's a Japanese game, and that is what you get with that. But I have enjoyed it. I am looking forward to the new game that's coming out very soon, but I don't think I'll play it at launch. That's Judgment in a nutshell.
That's your judgment.
Exactly. That's my opinion. And also a tiny bit of Pokemon Crystal I played last night as well. Just making my way through Kanto, having finished Johto and the Pokemon League, just defeating a few fools and taking some names, some Pokédollars.
Tiny little bit of warming up.
Yes, and he's Welsh.
Oh, welcome back, Ashton.
Oh.
Hello.
Have you had enough of hiding now?
I wasn't hiding. I was having a cuddle.
A Molly coddle.
With my emotional support bear.
It's time for question two.
It's time for question two.
Which is going to be read in Welsh by Ashton.
It's not being read in Welsh.
Okay.
Why is Drippy on your paper?
Well, you would know if you didn't let me finish my sentence before. This question comes from Jason Allenby. Hello, Ashton, Ben and Peter. Hope you're all doing well. Last year, the Yakuza series came to Game Pass, so I decided to give Yakuza 0 a chance. I really enjoyed it, however, I never finished it. Now I'm playing Yakuza Like a Dragon, and I'm also really enjoying it as well. While I prefer the story of Zero more, I find myself sticking with Like a Dragon more because of one reason. It's in English. I find it way easier to get immersed in the game because I can watch and listen to everything rather than having to focus on reading the subtitles. Do you think that most games should have a language option? Thanks for all the content. Have a great day.
Confirmed. Jason Allenby is racist. No, I'm joking.
Actual,
very much joking.
Xenophobe.
Wow.
Not racist,
wow,
not a xenophobe. It is.
More Yakuza, though.
Yeah, whoops. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon, Jason.
You're racist.
Jason.
No, I think it's a good point by Jason because I always have subtitles turned on in everything that I do.
Yeah.
When I watch stuff on Netflix, when I play video games, and those are the only two things where subtitles exist, really.
The only two things that you do.
Music.
Yeah, I've had the subtitles turned on when I'm listening to the radio and I'm reading a book. That's all subtitles, a book.
Books are all subtitles.
I always have them turned on, partly because just if I just didn't quite catch something that was said, you might just be able to glance down and go, oh, okay, but without having to go like backtrack. But also I find that sometimes there will be little tiny like distant bits of dialogue, just like background, you know, if someone's walking through a crowd or something, and it will actually show up on the subtitles what someone is saying, and it can be quite interesting and just sort of just adds a bit more interest and realism and immersion to, like, especially I think in like a fictitious world, you know, if someone's walking through like a sci-fi market or like a fantasy town, and there's just little bits and bobs of people talking about history and or like local, you know, what's going on, and oh, that'll be 5 ducats, please, or whatever, just, you know, things like that. It's quite fun just to get the little extra bits and bobs. So, I mean, personally, I wouldn't have an issue playing a game that was subtitles based because it was in a language that I didn't speak. I have a slightly poncy opinion, which is one of the a film that I got not the most enjoyment out of, but it's up there. One of my top 10 films maybe was something that I watched at about 3 o'clock in the morning. I came back and put the TV on, and it was a film that was in Norwegian, but it was subtitled. And the title translates as The Bothersome Man. And it's this guy who lives in this like horrible, like sort of purgatory world where, so it's just like it looks like a regular city. He's living in a city, he's got a job and a home and stuff, but just everything is like completely bland. Like he's got a job and he's got money and he's got a beautiful wife. And I think he's got like a nice car and like nothing ever goes wrong. I think his boss actually says to him, like, have you got enough work to do? And he's like, yeah, I think so. And he's like, you've not got too much work, have you? And he's like, no, that's fine. But like nothing tastes good. He sees this couple kissing and they're just sort of staring soullessly while they're making out with each other. And it's about him trying to like get out of this world because he's the only one who realizes like, why is everything so plain here and horrible. Anyway, that's not video game related.
But and that's why Yakuza should have
that's
language
why
option.
Yakuza, yeah. But so personally, I'm more than happy playing games or watching films that are just subtitled. But I can completely see why other people wouldn't. And I think in that sense, it would probably be beneficial to a game in terms of its sales to, if possible, have language options so that people can play in English for, you know, for those who don't want to read subtitles, or perhaps, you know, if they're visually impaired and they can't read subtitles, they might want to be able to just enjoy a game's story just by listening to the dialogue rather than having to read it.
Yeah,
I also have subtitles on for most things I do. I mean, I've just talked about playing a game muted, so that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I also get distracted really easily, so sometimes having the audio in the background is not a bad thing, because at least if I've got distracted by looking at like a cat or someone that's being a little bumhole in the other room, then at least I can like listen to what's going on the screen. I also was going to talk about films, because there was the quote from Bong Joon-ho, who directed Parasite, that said, once you overcome the 1-inch-tall barrier of subtitles, you'll be introduced to so many more amazing films, which is like kind of savage, and I love it. But yeah, I think that if you're the kind of person that, you know, always has subtitles on, it's not necessarily a huge jump to like suddenly not be able to like understand, because you're always reading subtitles anyway. But I think, like you were saying, if there is a language option, like it makes the most sense, which is probably why they put it in Like a Dragon, because it wasn't in Zero. But yeah, I think most games tend to have a language option at this point, because not everyone plays it in English. There's normally a language option for like lots of other languages. So yeah,
It's probably not always financially viable, I guess, yeah. even for, I mean, especially for smaller
studios. Peter, you idiot. You've taken my point.
Oh, my God. This.
Don't know why I did that.
It's
why did you always ruin everything? Chaos. Japanese, Peter.
Yeah, I don't know.
God.
Racist.
I tend not to have subtitles on.
Right.
Especially for TV and film, because I read ahead and I find it completely ruins the delivery of
I've
any
learned not
important
to do that,
moments.
But, yeah. Or jokes. Like if you read like
yeah, you just read the punchline, you don't get the delivery until like a second later. Yeah. I ruin it for myself by not being able to look away from the subtitles. It's like when you're on FaceTime and you just sort of stare at yourself in the corner of the screen and you're not paying any attention to what's going on. That's what I do with subtitles. I do have it on for games occasionally, especially JRPGs and the like, because there's a lot of non-Western names that I just inherently have difficulty remembering or differentiating or sometimes just knowing what a MacGuffin is in a certain game as well, like a non-Japanese game, is also useful, like place names and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, you hear them say it a few times, you're like, "What? How would you even spell that? Like, I'm not even sure." It, sometimes it helps give you context for the world and the people in it. So I'll have it on for some games. I've definitely had it on for Judgment, which is actually fully localized voice-wise to English, which is handy. But I've played a few Yakuza games before. And I totally understand where Jason comes from, is coming from, sorry. I'm assuming he comes from somewhere.
Not Japan.
Not Japan,
yeah. You're right, though, Peter. It does come down to money. It comes down to the speed at which these things can be localized, especially for a game that is so Japanese as to be set in Japan. The localization probably does take some time to get down. There are still a lot of things in even Judgment that are like, ooh, that doesn't really translate very well. It's a little bit not very great sort of, what's the term I'm looking for? It's a bit pervy. Why have they done that?
Right.
That's not good. That's not acceptable in the West.
Whereas if you translate something from Spanish or German or French or something, that probably
has a one-to-one correlation pretty much. But it is complex. But then you have to take into consideration that perhaps this was the, much like Parasite, this was the creators, the developers' vision. They want their game to be experienced in Japanese with a Japanese voice cast because that is how they want you to play their game, with subtitles. But again, it comes down to money. I would never begrudge anybody for choosing the dub versus sub argument, especially I know that's big in the anime community and stuff. Some people prefer it to be dubbed. Some people prefer it in the original Japanese with English subtitles. I'd never begrudge anybody either way. So ultimately, yes, all games should have as many language options as possible. You're not losing anything by offering the choice, as long as, you know, fans of what they may considered to be the true experience, it being in Japanese, is still on the table and still an option for people. It just, you know, it could conceivably end up delaying the game way more than it would be. You already get Yakuza games coming out in Japan sometimes a year and a half before it comes out in the West.
Yeah.
And that was just to be localized subtitle and, you know, UI-wise.
Yeah.
If you add a voice cast too, that's going to take even longer. And if they hold back the Japanese version as well, then Japanese fans are going to be annoyed. Because it's like, well, just give us our version if it's ready.
And especially if you apply this just broadly across all the video games and say, oh, whether it's, you know, JRPGs or just all games should have language options. Imagine something like Skyrim or something having voice acting in loads of different languages. I know there are some different languages. I've seen like footage online of them speaking like Spanish and stuff, but whether, you know, those games are dubbed into every single language of the countries that game is available in, I don't know. Maybe they are, I don't know, but as I just said the same sentence twice, but they may well be. But it seems like a whole lot of work. You know, whenever you imagine the process of voice acting, for example, a Bethesda RPG game, it always seems like, oh, thousands and thousands of lines of dialogue. And that's just you imagining it in English.
Yeah.
And if you like multiply that by
localization is not just translation. It's making jokes and turns of phrase make sense contextually within another language. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a great video. I'm not sure if it may be Noclip, who do the amazing documentaries on YouTube.
Yeah.
When they spoke to CD Projekt Red about The Witcher 3. And they were talking about all the hoops they had to jump through to localize that world and those accents,
yeah.
You know, the broad range of English and, you know, I suppose UK accents into, Jesus.
What is going on upstairs?
Someone's doing a big clonk upstairs. But yeah, they had to do so much just because there's so many accents in the game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're translating that into, you know, dozens and dozens of different languages and dialects, it can get really complicated to make it,
for example,
appropriate for a different market.
In Japan, you couldn't necessarily have something called Henry the Hoover because there's alliteration there, but the Japanese word for vacuum cleaner might not begin with an H or a V
exactly.
sound.
What would drippy sound like in Japanese?
Oh, Welsh probably. They've stopped.
No, they've not.
Okay.
It's a really complicated issue, but yes, as many languages as possible, time permitting,
yes.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But I don't think you necessarily lose much from the experience of consuming media mm-hmm. with subtitles in a different language. It's just that you perhaps would be more focused on the bottom portion of the screen than everything else that's going on it, than you would be if you understood the actual language that was being spoken.
Well, the unfortunate thing as well is that there are some games that are literally just all Japanese. Like they don't have subtitles. They're just Japanese games and other nations too. But I'm thinking in particular about the PS1. You know, that's got a huge library of American and European and Japanese games. But there are probably, I would say there's like, maybe a quarter of the games are just Japanese only.
Yeah.
And if you can't read or understand Japanese, you just can't play those games, which is a shame. So, you know, that would be... But that's going way back. Things weren't as simple back then.
They weren't.
No.
They weren't.
Despite what your grandma says.
Yes.
She says they were simpler back
then. They flip him word.
No, they weren't, grandma.
It's
it wasn't
always
as
been
easy.
On fire. We're just more aware of it now.
Yeah.
You're right, Ashton.
Yeah, right.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would just letting you guys talk. I didn't have anything
that's okay.
to add.
Sorry.
Just checking in on you.
Just giving
I'm
Emma.
Sure you and Emma are fine.
I'm like, we're just hanging out.
Okay. Yeah,
I like good. It when she's here because I can just like hang out with Emma while you guys talk.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk too.
Yeah. I didn't have anything okay, to add, so fine. I was just sitting quietly.
I'll tell you what you might have.
Sometimes when I talk, Ben says,
oh my God.
So then I have to be quiet. So I've learned that I just be quiet when
my
Ben
God. I do not shush you.
I feel like the child in a divorce family.
This is, this is extremely uncomfortable. I'm being put on the spot on camera.
2 weeks ago, you said we had to put our fingers on our lips.
Yeah, because you were misbehaving.
I don't like it. Can we do weird news, please?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Peter, what have you found this week?
I've not found nothing. Danny Haney found it.
Nobody tells me nothing.
Nobody tells me nothing. Danny Haney found it and sent it to us on Facebook, because we do a post every week on Twitter and Facebook saying, hey, send us your weird news so we don't have to look for it.
Yes.
So thank you, Danny, for this. This is according to thegamer.com. That's the other thing I like about people finding weird news is I don't have to just go to Kotaku every single time, which is a good source of weird news, but I just feel bad about constantly going there. Thegamer.com. Cookie Clicker has an achievement name so long that it breaks Steam.
Oh,
good.
This is great. Achievement names on Steam can get disturbingly long, is the little byline. This is by Joshua Robertson, published 2 days ago, time of recording. Usually, an achievement name is some kind of clever pun or funny joke to reward the player for accomplishing a certain feat or task. The developer behind Cookie Clicker has instead been getting experimental with the game's achievements on Steam, creating an achievement name that is literal sentences long.
A paragraph.
A paragraph, indeed.
A child.
A stanza. First discovered by Twitter user Dog Given. I think that's like a God-given pun.
Dog
is God backwards.
Okay. Dogs are gods.
They are. Cookie Clicker's achievement for having players bake 10 sextillion cookies per second doesn't actually fit on screen. Instead, the name just wanders off screen, rambling about the personal life of Adolphus W. Green, creator of the National Biscuit Company. The entire name of the achievement is as follows. There's really no hard limit to how long these achievement names can be, and to be quite honest, I'm rather curious to see how far we can go. Adolphus W. Green, 1844 to 1917, started as the principal of the Gorton School in 1864. By 1865, he became the second assistant librarian at the New York Mercantile Library. This is an achievement name. We're still going. From 1867 to 1869, he was promoted to full librarian. From 1869 to 1873, he worked for Evart, Southmaid, and Choate, a law firm co-founded by William M. Evarts, Charles Ferdinand Southmaid, and Joseph Hodges Choate. He was admitted to the New York State Bar Association in 1873. Anyway, how's your day been? Very good.
Oh, nice. That was a nice addition.
Are they hoovering the bathroom?
I'm not sure. Sounds like they're hoovering this room.
Wow, we should never, ever record on a Wednesday again,
never,
should we?
Ever.
This is the loudest day.
Wednesdays are bad days.
It's a bad day when the cleaner comes in. And we appreciate their work. But
yes, we do. But can you do it quietly and after we're gone?
The fact that Steam achievement names can even get this long is amazing in itself, but the Cookie Clicker developer, seeing it as an opportunity to teach people about the creator of a high-profile biscuit manufacturer, is a joke straight off the top shelf, apparently, according to thegamer.com.
That is one of the funniest things I have
ever
heard.
Best joke. Oh my God. Best joke.
There is a screenshot here of someone who's got the achievement and what it looks like on Steam. There you go. It does just break the website.
It just goes all the way off the edge.
Fantastic. The article, I think, continues, but I've just closed it by accident. But it is a joke straight off the top shelf.
Of course.
It's this high level of absurd humor that has made Cookie Clicker the cult classic that it is today. Starting off as a silly browser. Oh, it's just filler, isn't it?
Usually that stuff comes first, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we're fine. Born Not bad for a browser game about clicking on a cookie. Source PC Gamer. There you go.
Thanks, PC Gamer.
Fantastic news.
Fantastic news.
Very weird. Ashton?
My weird news comes from Michael Mallon, Sam Almond, and Johnny Mac at JohnnyMac13 on Twitter. They all sent me different websites. So this story was on three different websites. It was on this one, Nintendo Life, I think, and one other one that I literally could not read because it made my brain hurt.
Oh, no.
But I went for Kotaku.
We know that one.
And it's in the odds and ends section of their website by Brian Ashcraft.
Random?
Random. Beat this dentist at Smash Bros. Get a free teeth cleaning. Lose, and you have to tell everyone online that a dentist kicked your butt.
So you have to give him
Look
a teeth
nice
cleaning.
Man. Look
you
nice
get
man.
All your teeth pulled out.
Oh, wow.
Nice dentist.
Oh, he looks nice.
Dentists smash your teeth.
Yeah.
Freak me out a bit, but that's fine. For many, the dentist office is an awful place. Personally, I hate going to the dentist. Oh, my God, same, Brian. But Dr. Tej A. Shah has video games, and if you kick his ass in Smash Bros, he'll clean your teeth for free.
Yes.
If you lose, however, you must post on your social media account that you lost the to a dentist at Zen Family Dental in Massachusetts. Okay, yes, this is a publicity stunt for a dental clinic. Yes, fine, I get it, but it's a very good one. Considering how much I dislike going to the dentist, props to the low-key way Dr. Shah is encouraging people to come and get their teeth cleaned. On Reddit, Dr. Shah detailed the rules of the challenge. These are the rules. Okay. It's valid one per patient, only one challenge. Must challenge Dr. Shah, in brackets, me, in Zen Family Dental at 5 Homer Avenue. That's the address. Smash Bros. Ultimate for Nintendo Switch, provided by Dr. Shah. You are allowed to bring in any controller as long as it connects to the Switch. I do have a GameCube adapter. Now, the third rule, stock 3 battle with 6-minute time limit. No items, no final smash. Final Destination style level, no level damage. If a patient loses, they must post on social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, etc., about the loss at Zen Family Dentist. Free cleaning does not include exam or radiographs that are required before the cleaning. I am open every Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m, but closed Monday to Thursday. Weird opening times for a dentist, but okay. You have to make the challenge during regular open hours, and then you have to sign up via the link. Note, if you win, the cleaning is free, but you must have to... this is like now back into the article. If you win, the cleaning is free, but you must have an exam and x-rays, which Dr. Shah claims are the cheapest in the state. I'm probably going to the Smash tournament again sometime in October. The reception area is large enough to fit 8 people, even with social distancing. What a cool dentist. Heck, the doctor even has Zelda and Final Fantasy examination rooms.
What?
And that's the end. The end.
Wow, I like that.
I wish I cared enough about Smash Bros. To be good at it. Because
There's a video.
Hi, Starling Bank.
Because that's a real, like, that's a bragging rights game, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's not really an equivalent on other platforms. It's like, want a game of Smash? Oh, who's your main? Flipping.
Dentist.
Dentist. I like to be the dentist character.
Yeah. They've uploaded a video of him challenging people. Okay. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I would.
Can I just say, I would have preferred it if he'd been charging people to Fortnite, because then when he was done, he could say...
Floss, yeah.
Oh, Ben, please.
Sorry.
Come on.
You ruined floss, everything. Yeah.
Sorry.
Remember to floss. What?
Sorry.
Jesus.
Just because you can, Ben, doesn't mean you should.
I can't help it. I'm too clever. I'm 12 steps ahead at all times.
Do you know what you just did there?
I know what you're...
You looked ahead on the subtitles and read the punchline to everyone.
The Peter Austin subtitles.
That's what you just did.
I did. I have PeterAustin.srt downloaded into my brain hole.
Yeah.
I know what's going on.
Ashton, please play the video.
Tell the whole world that you lost to dentists.
Ugh.
A dentist.
A dentist. How embarrassing. A fate worse than death.
How many views does that have? It has 40,000 views.
Oh.
Wow.
Famous dentist.
Famous dentist. Oh,
yeah. Big famous man. I've got some weird news for you.
Yeah? Oh, yeah?
This is from Toby at Ketchup Duncan on Twitter.
Fun.
It's also Kotaku.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of this is... The Halo 2 condom.
Right.
Here we go.
Halo 2 condom. This is an old... It's probably gone out of date by now. Do not
use
the
Halo 2
condom.
I'm looking at a photo of it and it says 2009 on it.
Right.
So there we are. In 2021, video... This is Luke Plunkett, by the way.
Of course.
In 2021, video game marketing tends to be pretty slick, but it wasn't that long ago that the medium, in the process of trying to drag itself out of the advertising dark ages of the 1980s and 90s, was still prone to some decisions that have aged a lot worse than the games they were selling. So that felt like that sentence was ending, but it didn't. And few have aged as poorly as the official Halo 2 condom, which, as you can see by the foil packaging Microsoft went to the trouble of making, sure was legally cleared and certified as a functional prophylactic. The coming soon was, I'm sure, just a coincidence.
Oh.
Would you like to see it?
Prepare your ring world.
Oh, there it is.
Wow.
Look at it.
Oh, it looks really cheap and rubbish.
It's got a special box.
A silver packet.
Have you got a condom in your wallet? Of
course no. I do.
Yeah.
Halo
what?
2.
Halo 2.
No.
Halo, stop it. Halo to you too.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Finish the fight.
I'm trying to find where I was in the thing now. As you can probably imagine, 17 years later, these are getting pretty rare. And this one has surfaced recently because it was picked up by Xbox collector at Gamebox UKV. And there's an embedded tweet. This one's extremely rare. The official Xbox hashtag Halo 2 promotional condom as featured in a 343 video on YouTube. Wow. I only know of one other in collector's hands. This one's new in box.
Good. Not used.
I'm very happy for him that he got one that was specifically new in box, given the horrific alternative. As he says, there aren't many of these out there in 2021. He only knows of one other in the hands of a collector. Though you can see another that Microsoft has sitting around in the archives here in this video by Halo Studio 343 from last year. And then it embeds a video there. There we go. Here is another photo of the Halo condom eventually. There we are. Look, it's got like all this little collector's packaging. The original.
It's good to play together.
As long as you're safe.
That's what it says. And then on the condom it says coming soon.
Yeah.
So there we are. Someone held on to a Halo 2 condom for, over a decade.
He might not have intended to.
Oh, no. Ashton.
He bought it in 2009.
Oh, no.
But all he's been doing is just lying in bed Master Chiefing. never mind.
Is Grunt anything? Luke Plunkett did go on to make those kinds of jokes in the closing paragraph.
Yeah.
And the comments were very upset.
Because
this is sexist, and it's implying that ladies wouldn't want it and that they don't play games, and
look,
the stereotype is tired, and
look,
yeah, they really went
woman,
to war with Luke.
I'm just saying, if a man pulled out a Halo 2 condom,
what, yes or no?
I can't be held back.
Okay.
It's just too good.
But not one from 2009.
No.
You would rather it was a
Halo Infinite condom.
I'd say,
wow, that's really nice.
Condom.
Let's put it on the bedside table and we'll find one that's not out of date.
And we'll play some Halo.
Make sure your condoms are within date. And also don't keep them in wallets because it wears them down and they shouldn't be kept in a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. Don't do that.
No.
That's my weird news. Let's move on to another question, shall we, please?
Yes. This is from Jules. With two O's.
Jaws. Yeah, go on, Peter.
Oh, my God.
It felt really clever, didn't it, to rip that up at the moment?
It's actually conveniently just on one little sheet here.
Okay.
Hi, BAP. Hope you are well. In an interview this week, Yakuza director...
Another Yakuza question.
There was quite a lot of Yakuza mentions right now. Yeah.
I'm glad you guys interjected there because it gave me a moment to just read the name Kazuki Hosokawa.
Yeah,
in my
sounds
head.
Pretty sounds correct.
Right. I could say it about right. We might need subtitles for that. Stated that he thought Kazumi Kiryu could easily beat John Wick in a fight. Which video game movie protagonists would you pit against each other and who would your money be on?
Have we all brought a few?
I bought two.
I brought one that I then scribbled out because we might play it for worst games ever. But on the other hand, I think I can actually say it. I think because it'll still be a good episode, so I can say it. But then I brought my other answer,
okay,
which I'll say first. I would really like to see a crossover of Shadow of the Colossus versus Pacific Rim.
Specific rim.
Specifically rim.
Specifically rim.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I mean, that would... Okay, no, I won't go there. I would like to see that. You could do a kind of medieval style, an oldie worldy fantasy Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
So you could have the, what they call the Jaegers, as like big war machines, like big siege engines, being operated by several people. And they're like punching...
The Australians.
Colossal... What? By the Australians?
Yeah, isn't the main character in Pacific Rim Australian?
Oh,
I've not seen it.
Or is that the second one?
I don't know. Some of them were Japanese, because I think
Did every country have their own big robot thing?
I mean, there are two films. And
one of them has John, your boy, Jaeger in it.
Does it?
I think so.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I've not
seen
it.
Does he do an American
films?
Accent in it?
No, because he's the son of a guy from the first one who is also British.
All right, mate.
All right, mate.
John.
I'm going to kill this big
off of
dinosaur.
The Star Wars. Ooh. They really did me dirty.
I hate them.
What a crap set of films.
Yeah.
Really sad about it, actually. What a disappointment.
There's been talk of doing Pacific Rim crossover with, I can't even remember now whether it's the Godzilla King Kong franchise that's happening.
Oh, God, okay.
Or maybe it was...
The Dark Universe.
Flipping, what's it called? Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. What? So we won't get to see any of the action because the camera's going to be like, whoa. God, I'm so, just pointing
be,
at their
it's
faces.
Be in
I'm
selfie,
so scared.
Selfie mode. Like, wow.
Yeah.
There's a huge fight happening over there.
A little bit of John Boyega's Pacific Rim Jaeger fly past in the background.
It's an arm.
So there's already talk of doing Pacific Rim crossovers with other movies. And I think a Shadow of Colossus Pacific Rim that, as I say, it would be like old old sort of stylized siege engine Jaegers instead of the super electronic cool robot
ones.
So
who would win?
I think
out of a Colossus, which one? You have a preference?
All of them.
All of them.
All that's of the
them.
Thing. Yeah,
combined into one.
Isn't that
giant...
Pacific Rim's kind of thing? Is that
yeah? Pacific Rim has loads of different kaiju in it.
Right,
and the robots fight the kaiju.
So it's just going to be a big old war.
War.
And maybe you would tie it in, so it's not set post actual Shadow of the Colossus, as though that's already happened in universe. It would be like kind of the story of Shadow of the Colossus, but instead of a boy stabbing the colossi, it's big robots killing them. So they would all die,
right?
And then the big Dormammu would be released at the end and try and destroy everyone, and then the guy would come and deal with it and turn the Pacific Rim Jaegers into a baby, I suppose. That's what would happen at the end.
Okay.
The other one that I had written down, and you'll see it's similar, you'll see where I got to Pacific Rim from this. I would like to see Godzilla fight Demolition Girl.
Wow.
Demolition Girl is a worst game ever that we will maybe play one day. We've only looked at the box art, so we don't know what the game is going to be like, but it's a PS2 game with a
giant woman,
skyscraper-sized woman who I believe is in a bikini and just goes around like a Godzilla smashing up the city.
What a battle.
Oh, is it this one?
That's it. There she is, Demolition Girl. I mean, it's tasteless. It's terrible. It's very noughties and naughty.
She's bigger than ever.
So I'm not for 1 minute saying, oh, yeah, love to see that film. Oh, go on, give me that. Yeah.
I certainly wasn't thinking
good.
That.
I'm glad. Glad to hear that.
That voice made me so uncomfortable.
Me too. That's what I don't want you to picture me as. So in giving you the picture, now you don't have to think about it.
I'm scared.
I just think it would be like funny and rubbish.
Would you like to hold Emma's hand? She might help you with your uncomfortability.
There we go. Oh, mind the microphone, Emma. Steady. Emma, please.
We have to go the long way around.
There we go. So that's what I'd like to see in a kind of B-movie sort of, you know, Sharknado kind of thing. Demolition Girl fighting Godzilla.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm just welcoming Emma. Welcoming Emma to the football team.
Welcome to the family, son.
Speaking of Welcome to the Family, son,
yeah,
I would like to see Ethan Winters versus literally anyone, because that man is invincible. I cannot die. I think you could put anyone against Ethan Winters and, you know, you just keep growing his hands back and that and it'll be all right.
What about that guy from that really obscure Japanese game where all your limbs can fall off, and even when you get totally destroyed, you're just a head rolling around on the floor? I want to say it's a Suda 51 game. I'm going to have to look. I'll let you know. But
maybe Ethan Winters versus Deadpool, because they've kind of got similar abilities.
Ethan Winters is good against tall women, so I'd like to see Ethan Winters versus Demolition Girl.
Yeah, they're both video games, though, so it doesn't...
Oh, true.
Okay, I'd like to see Ethan Winters against the woman from Monsters versus Aliens, the animated movie where she's a giant. And she's played by, like, Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or, alternatively, I'd like to see Lara Croft versus Black Widow.
Oh, okay.
Because Black Widow would win, because Lara Croft is just somehow lucky that she doesn't die for the entire games that she's in. And Black Widow is just a badass. But I also think that before, like, Black Widow killed Lara Croft, they'd actually just end up being friends, and then Lara Croft would just end up joining the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Because women supporting women... What are we looking at?
Just
the Japanese
work out
game.
What the name of this game is.
Yeah, women supporting women, and they'd fight, and then they'd be like, "Hey, you're pretty good at fighting." And she'd be like, "Oh, thank you so much. My name's Lara Croft. Let's go find something in the Antarctic, a magical creature or something." And she'd be like, "Yeah, sick. Let's go."
There should be a
buddy cop movie with
a buddy cop movie. Yeah,
Lara Croft. And
I found it.
There should be a movie where. Lara Croft, Nathan Drake, Indiana Jones, and maybe like the people from The Mummy on National Treasure.
I would like to see Lara Croft
all race
kick Indiana Jones' ass.
I wasn't going to say fight, but
sure. I hate Indiana Jones. I love the movies when I was younger, and I watched them like last year, and I was like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Lara Croft
video dislikes
should beat the heck out Indiana Jones.
I mean, they could either fight.
Prove a point.
Or I was just going to say it's like Rat Race or something. Yeah. But, you
rat
know.
Race.
Temple Run.
With Mr. B.
Yeah, Rat Race. Except instead of driving in cars, they are going through a tomb. It's just like Rat Race, except nothing. They're racing, is what I'm saying.
It's Jungle Run.
Jungle Run. Yeah, Jungle Run. Perfect.
Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah.
Mm. I found the game. It's not Suda 51, although it flipping well could be. It's called Never Dead. It was released for PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2012. The protagonist is an immortal, it says, and will be able to survive severe injuries. Over time, the player will lose body parts and will have to collect removed limbs by rolling into them. It's all very silly.
Your hand first.
I think your hand just sticks out of your head.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like the hand connected to your neck, and you're just like...
No, I think the head just still just sort of weirdly rolls around. I only played the demo like for it, but it was very much a curiosity. What was that?
Well, if the hand is connected to the head, as it rolls, it's just going to go...
Yeah, it is. It's just going to slap the,
flop over
the floor as it goes.
Yeah.
I have a few.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Just going to the John Wick versus Kaz point that was made by Jules. If it was an unarmed fight, maybe it would be a tightly contested matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But Kaz isn't bulletproof, and John Wick tends to just use guns a lot.
Right.
So if they were just to go at it in their home environments, there's a good chance Kaz would die really fast. But if he hit John Wick, like with a bicycle or something, you know, the kind of stuff that Kaz is prone to do, then John Wick is equally boned in this situation.
Do you think Kaz would have killed John Wick's dogs?
No. Kaz is a wonderful man who looks after orphans at an orphanage, even though he's a Yakuza with a heart.
So he might, like, he's like, didn't kill the dogs, but just a man in the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he's like, if John Wick accidentally knocks over something Kaz cares about, like John Wick maybe shoots up a karaoke lounge or something. Kaz is in there busting some moves on the dance floor and John Wick has a shootout in there, and then Kaz is like, something threatening in Japanese with subtitles.
He challenges him to a hand-to-hand fight.
Yeah, which case I think John Wick is maybe in trouble.
And then while they're like hand-to-hand combat, someone's just singing like, I will survive, like really badly in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should make that movie.
We get it made.
Yeah.
Duke Nukem versus Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. Who would win?
I hope like Gaston would win, just because Duke is just a bit of an asshole.
But I mean, Gaston's also a bit.
It's all bluster and macho,
isn't
it?
I'd hope they both punch each other in the head and just knock each other
they
out.
They both died simultaneously.
At the same time.
Kratos versus Thanos.
I was thinking Thanos, but I couldn't think of anyone that I wanted to pair them with. But Kratos is such a good
shot. Thanos with the gauntlet or not?
Thanos with the gauntlet, no one can beat Thanos with the gauntlet.
Well, God, I think Kratos could. Well, maybe like he's got the gauntlet and he's got maybe like two gems.
What? So sort of Thanos at the opening of Infinity War when he encounters Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bit. You know the bit, Peter, don't you?
Well, I was just about to say, this is one thing I'm curious about, and not curious enough to watch the entire film or set of films. Mm. How come Thanos doesn't just... I know he clicks his fingers to like make like half the universe die or something because it's overpopulated. Is that his motivation there?
Yes, but he needs all of the gems to do it. Mm. He doesn't get one of the gems until right before he clicks, if that's what you're asking.
So he does that, and then there's the film after that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Why, when people are coming at him to get him, doesn't he just... Because that gauntlet can just do anything, can't it? Why doesn't he just make them all die?
Because the whole narrative is that he's not actually evil.
He's just done it for that overpopulation.
He wants to kill people. It's just that he wants to cure the world.
Right.
And he kills enough of them on the way there for it to...
A lot of
if
them.
He killed all of them...
I just feel like if someone's coming to stop you, why not just say, no, you are a dog now?
I mean, he did pretty much do that to a couple of people in the film. Yeah. So he shows all of it. It's a MacGuffin and it's overpowered as hell.
Yeah.
But I think if it was Kratos versus Thanos, the Thanos in Endgame, where there's the big battle scene, Thanos sans gems, where he's just the mad titan who's extremely good at fighting but doesn't have any magical abilities, I think Thanos would be killed by Kratos pretty handily, to be honest.
Yeah. Is Kratos immortal, or is he not?
No, he's not immortal, but he's very hard to kill.
Okay. Yeah.
He has survived death a few times. Yeah, well, I know
that, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's
immortal.
And
he's real angry.
He is angry.
He's real angry, yeah.
And he
hates
gods.
Hades.
He really hates gods, so
Flipping
I guess,
hates
like,
gods, yeah.
Kind of Thanos kind of thinks he's a god, so...
Maybe Thanos has clicked the boy into nothingness and then somehow lost the gauntlet. And then Kratos is really mad.
He's so furious. Mm-hmm. He's never not furious.
No, but no. You don't really need to give him a reason.
Furious. He's really cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one, Scorpion off of Mortal Kombat versus Dominic Toretto from Fast and Furious.
I don't know who that is.
Scorpion would win.
You don't know Vin Diesel's character.
Vin Diesel, right.
Because he is also someone who has...
The family.
He has the family, he's got all the cars, but also he has movie immunity in that he has been in so many death-defying situations and has always walked away without a scratch. I don't think he can be killed.
Well, but Scorpion's been fatalitied by countless people.
But this is the final fight. This is
the final fight.
Whoever dies, their franchise
forever
ends.
Dead.
Right. Scorpion would win.
You think Scorpion would
beat... He's a supernatural being.
You think he'd beat Dom Toretto?
Yeah.
What about
he's got
you?
A skull for a
I
face.
Think Dom has the power of family on his side.
He does.
So he would be fine.
He's an infinity gem of its own.
Yeah. Power of God and family on my side.
Yeah.
Final one. Squirtle off of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Red
we know
or
that
blue
one.
Versus Lassie, the dog from the films.
You can make Lassie fight.
I'm going to make Squirtle fight.
They just lick each other, I think.
I feel like if Lassie got close enough to Squirtle, Squirtle would be dead instantly.
Yeah, just go for the jugular.
Yeah, exactly. But Squirtle might be able to squirt Lassie away, keep Lassie at bay.
Yeah, I don't know how much water would affect Lassie because they'd just be like a wet dog. Well, I suppose they've got a lot of fur, so maybe it would just weigh them down.
Well, yeah. Remember that Squirtle's powers, they aren't, you know, they aren't just a light hosing down. There's some real force behind the blast. It's called water gun, not
yeah, but
water
I've
jet.
Seen a water gun and it hasn't wouldn't do that much damage.
Not a little water pistol. Not a water pistol. I'm just saying I think Squirtle could drown.
Does Squirtle just have one attack or two?
Many depending on what level it is. Yeah.
Well, what's on the do you know what's on the card? I think just
all
one.
The best moves.
Yeah.
Surf, hydro pump, body slam.
Does Lassie have the ability to summon a well?
I mean, that's a great question.
To throw
but
Squirtle down.
That wouldn't kill Squirtle because Squirtle would thrive in
depends
that aquatic
deep
environment.
The pit is, I guess.
Depends how much water is in the well.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
There we are. That's all the ones I brought.
Okay, they're good. Pretty good.
Yeah, they are good. Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome. Anyway, let's move on to something so large that we saved it until last. It's the big discussion. Some weak efforts there. Big discussion time. It's time for the big discussion. This week's big discussion comes from Callum Story, who asks, "Hey Bap, my friends and I are currently playing Grounded together, and one of them has done no combat or exploration for 30 or so hours, and instead has spent all his time and our resources building an elaborate palace, which serves no purpose except to be admired as a masterpiece of architectural design.
Good for him.
What's the most fun you've had / time you've spent ignoring set objectives and doing something off the beaten path in a video game?
Me and my friends once had a Minecraft server together where we built an airport, like a really big, giant, like terminal airport with a big glass frontage and a nice architectural roof. We had this like curved roof that was inspired by a wing design.
Wow. Did you put a Greggs in there?
We didn't get as far as putting a load of stuff inside, but we built a runway with lights on it. And then... on the same server, we built a giant skyship, like just it was just like a pirate ship, but just in the sky. It didn't have like a Zeppelin balloon or anything like that. It was just a ship up in the sky. And that was huge. And that had an interior. It had like a hold and a captain's quarters and a mast and a crow's nest. And it just went on and on and on. And we had a great time doing it. Also, something that I think I've mentioned podcasts and podcasts ago, like probably over a year now, me and my Peter's Gamer Uncle Trademarked were once playing Halo Combat Evolved on co-op mode, and there was a level on that campaign called the Silent Cartographer, which is the beach level for those who don't remember the names of the levels. And about halfway through that, no, right at the beginning, actually, of that level, you get given a warthog. So we're driving around. And when you get given a warthog in Halo, you want to keep it for as long as you can. You know, it's pretty OP, especially back in those days when the vehicles didn't blow up. So it's indestructible. It's got a big chain gun on the back. It's great. We then got to the bit in the game where you're no longer on the beach. You have to go indoors. And there was a door that the warthog shouldn't fit through. Mm-hmm. But we were like, we can get this warthog through the door. So we lined it up, and he was in the warthog at the front, right up to the door. I went outside to the bottom of the cliff where there's a spare warthog that's been like blown up and it's got all these bodies lying around it. I got that one, drove it up, and we just rammed this warthog through the door. Mm-hmm. And we were doing it for 5 minutes.
Were you wearing your Halo 2 condom or the warthog?
Of course, absolutely. And it was like glitching through. I mean, the hole was literally too small. Like, it was this little aperture. And we were like, no, it will go in. And it did. And we got it through. And I think eventually we then encountered a bit where we couldn't get it any further. But we kept that buggy for much longer than we should have done.
You weren't going to give up.
We weren't. And I remember just tears streaming down our face as we watched this car sort of glitch its way through this door. Because it sort of got into the hole, but not enough that it would come out the other side. So it's just like freaking out and shaking all over the place. Great. Had a wonderful time. And we spent a long time doing it. For not much reward on the other side of the door, but
nice.
The reward, it was all in the journey, you know?
Yeah. The was friends great. You made along the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. So, I don't know if it was, I mean, it was fun for a bit, and then it was not fun. I spent a long, long time, like a good couple of hours, trying to get my stuff back in Valheim after I died on a mountain. And it's really hard once you're down the mountain, because you need, like, wolf fur and silver armor to get onto the mountain and not die of freezing. But I'd lost all my armor and wolf fur on the mountain, so I was like trying to get back with like trying not to die before I made it to my body, and I must have died like a good 10 times.
You mean just like running through the cold?
Just like, we can make it this time. We're gonna do it just like sprinting along, and obviously I didn't make it. So like, maybe I'll make myself a antifreeze potion. Still didn't make it, and I was like, we can do this, I believe it. And eventually, like, I'm just gonna go get your stuff, because we can't keep just running blindly into the mountains and trying to get there. Also in Minecraft, but modded Minecraft, I like had enough coins from doing some of the challenges to like buy a magic TNT block that doesn't just like explode, it either like mines down or it does like a big explosion or something.
Just on like a server with special things.
Well, yeah, so it's just like a modded server.
Oh, modded. I thought you said modern.
No. Yeah. Let me and Ben.
Modern Minecraft.
Playing. And I was like, I'm going to get this TNT and see what happens. So I bought it and I like set it off, and this huge explosion as it burrowed like all the way down to the center of the earth, to the bedrock. And MB was just like, what was that noise? What is going on? I was like, nothing, everything's fine. As I stared down into this huge pit that I'd created. So I spent a good couple of hours trying to figure out how I was going to deal with the pit that was like meters from the front door of the base that we'd created. And I was like, nothing, everything's fine. And he walked over and was like, oh my God.
What did you do?
What have you done? I was like, resources, look. He was like, yeah, if you can get to the bottom without dying. So I was like, yeah. I spent a couple of hours trying to solve the issue of the huge hole and get all the stuff out of it before it despawned. But,
nice. But yeah. That sounds a bit like the, I think, the best video that the Yogscast have ever done.
The nuclear one.
With the air, with the antimatter bomb that was just consuming the world.
You have to like, put another bomb inside it.
Yeah. And it's just all the different perspectives of the people on the server at different times. Like, what was that noise? And they're just seeing people's names in the corner just dying over and over again.
Rich dogs in the chat saying, this will eat the world.
Yeah. I think I watched that video like last year because it like something reminded me of it. I was like, oh, I've got to watch
it. It's very
again.
Good.
It's
I think
good
that
one.
Was just called The Bomb.
The
if
Bomb.
Anyone wants
yeah,
to look it up.
It's good.
It's brilliant. Much like you, Peter, in terms of having fun with glitchiness,
yeah.
I remember playing Oblivion on Xbox 360 at a sleepover with my cool friends. And we were dragging deceased people into the doorways of, I think it was just in one of the shops in the Imperial City. Mm-hmm. We were upstairs near the bedrooms, And the guards kept coming in. We kept killing them, stripping them of their armor, dragging them into the doorways, and then shutting the doors so that they glitch into the door. Because the game doesn't know what to do. So several times, and again, this was just one of those situations where it was like, we were delirious teenagers, and it was like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And several times we managed to get it so that, you know, like a one of those a bat and a ball that's got like a elastic on it, so you can go bung 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 over and over again. It was doing that with his head in his neck,
right?
So the head was on one side of the door and it just kept going and just like flying out and going back in, and it was just so much fun. I had a great time with it. But in terms of just being totally distracted from the main thrust of the game, as we've discussed before on the podcast, there was Fallout 4. When that came out, I pre-ordered it and preloaded it and started playing it at midnight on release. And then I immediately spent almost the entire time I played it, like 4 or 5 hours, just building in the first settlement that you get.
Right.
What's that? What's the place called? I can't remember what the first place.
Fallout 4.
Fallout 4.
I don't remember.
Whatever it's called, that first little area where the house is at the start of the game, I just spent all my time. It's like, you need to go find your son and work out what's happened, who killed your wife, and
I'm
so
busy.
On. And then I'm just scrapping everything and painstakingly with the most glitchy building editor tools that I've ever used in a game, just painstakingly constructing this rubbish house.
Yeah.
And that's all I did for so long in that
game. I wrote Skyrim generally just like not doing any quests and just, I mean, once you've experienced them all once, you kind of get used to it. But like all the kind of interesting radiant quests or like things that just happen when you're walking around, you know, when I started Skyrim, I just used to wander the roads for like the first few hours waiting for highwaymen and, you know, people to come over and say, take this and don't give it to anyone if someone asks you, and don't tell them what, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just interesting in and of itself.
You say, what have you had for your tea?
Yeah.
And he says, go and ask.
Go and ask.
And you go and ask and they say, what's he had for his tea?
Mm-hmm.
Then they hold you up at sword point.
If you don't say garlic and chips, then
they stab you three times. Yeah. Also, more recently, Ghost of Tsushima, I remember seeing the really cool armor on the box art and thinking, I would like that, please.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I was able to, I think it's the second part of the island that you get to, I made a beeline all across the map. I rode for about maybe 30-ish minutes in-game, all the way across to the family estate to claim my father's armor for myself, because I was like, that's the coolest looking armor I have access to right now. It ends up giving you the armor on the box art as part of the story shortly after.
Right.
But that was something I just got extremely distracted and just went, I'm going all the way up here to get the cool looking armor. That's what I want. And then this week in Judgment, someone gets kidnapped. And you're investigating this murder case. There's so many high stakes, and I'm off drone racing or going on dates with Japanese women and taking them to drone races because apparently that's what the guide told me that they would like. And
did they?
They loved it, Ashton. We had a great time.
Women are real simple. Halo 2 condoms and drone racing, and you've got yourself
absolutely.
A girlfriend.
Yeah, it works.
You
joke, but it works.
Yeah.
So there we are. There's some procrastination in games. It's always good to have some procrastination in games sometimes.
I spent a good hour or so of Half-Life Alyx just drawing penises on everything that I could with a pen.
Good. That is important.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, is that Richard? That's Richard's amazing leopard print shirt that he's wearing.
Yeah, it looks like it.
He's so stylish. Good.
He's so, every time he walks in, I just sort of, I have to kind of look at him.
That guy's fashion is
10
just
or 15 seconds.
Out of this world.
He was wearing a nice shirt yesterday.
I know he's talked about frequently on the Cultaholic podcast as well, because he sits in with them and helps them sort of live produce. And they always say how fashionable he is. But he is so fashionable.
Yeah. He's not seen me looking yet, but I do look every time he comes into our office.
Like, what's he wearing today?
Oh, wow, look at
he just wears the coolest stuff that I would never be brave enough to be.
No, me neither.
Just same free shirt and blue jeans or grey jeans, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we are. That's our big discussion.
Yeah.
Please do let us know what you thought about all the things
about
we've discussed this week.
Richard Tubman's wearing.
Including Richard Tubman's fashion sense. He is on Twitter. I can't remember what his username is, though. You'll find him if you want to find him.
If you search for Richard. Dick Tubbs, you'll probably find him.
Yeah. What walk back over, but he didn't hear you say his name, so we're all good, I think. Mm. Otherwise, he would kill us. Where can people find us on the internet, Peter?
We are Team Triple Jump. You can go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump if indeed you want to support Twitch right now. If you've got Amazon Prime, then that kind of comes with a free Twitch sub that you can use on someone. You could give it to us. When we're streaming on YouTube and Twitch, we're modded by Lob Rotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black, because we do stream on both. And of course, we put we put videos on YouTube. We've got Twitter and Facebook. That's twitter.com and facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. Twitter is more for video and live stream announcements and pictures of Emma and things like that.
Lots of pictures of Emma recently.
Facebook is, we've got some of our older video content being posted there, but also bits of discussion and stuff, occasional Facebook live streams as well. And Fraser is doing an excellent job of looking after our Facebook for us, and also Twitter too. Someone at Domino's last night.
That was a loud pipe noise.
It was. Yeah. And finally, from me, is patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. You can head over there. Last couple of weeks to get the current rewards before they go. They
forever.
Might. Forever. I suspect a lot of them won't be going or will be transforming in some way. But
they'll be changing.
Changing, yeah. So have a look.
Triple Jump is changing.
It is changing. Have a look at patreon.com/Team Triple Jump and they'll be changing in a few weeks. So. Yeah, go check it out.
We have a website. It's almost fixed. It just says, this website is under maintenance in the middle of the website, but that's fine. It's triplejut.mp or triplejut.mup, if you want to get serious about it. Mm. To go to our Discord, it's triplejut.mup/Discord. We're modded by Joe, Jack, and Hollow Eyes. If you want to listen to our podcast on any of the other forms, if you're watching on YouTube and want to listen to it in the car, maybe, you can go triplejut.mup/podcast. All of our live stream VODs, so if you miss any of the live streams, which we've got 5 a week, so that's a lot. But if you miss any, you can go triplejut.mup/VODs to check out the VODs. And new merch coming very, very soon.
Next week.
It actually is. It literally is now.
It's done. It's in the bag. Next week, we will tell you everything.
Mm. Maybe next Thursday, if you're being fancy.
Mm. Maybe, if you want to watch our live stream, you might find out a bit more. Thursday live.
But after Thursday, you might be able to go to triplejumpshop.com to find all the new merch, but also be going out on at triplejumpshop on Twitter. Yep. So if you can't watch the stream, but you want to be the first to know, check out the Twitter.
Yes. Absolutely. Why not follow Peter and Ashton at ThatPeterAustin and at ScrambledAshton on both Instagram and Twitter. Myself just on Twitter at Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint streams on YouTube. Monday to Friday being the solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. Friday for patrons of a certain tier. Sunday for everyone else. That's another reward that's not going anywhere on Patreon, by the way. Mm-hmm. It is a Worst Games Ever week. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Last week was next.
Why are you lying for?
Because we're about to record next week's episode and I got confused. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows one every other week or thereabouts or something like that. Anyway, why not leave a review on iTunes or your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. This week, triplejump.gg. Go get yourself some currency and some subscriptions and all sorts. Go follow our Facebook page. Please get us to 10,000 follows. We'd really appreciate it. And then we'll stop talking about it.
Promise.
This week, there is at the time of recording, it's already happened, at the time of release, the PlayStation Showcase live stream. Mm-hmm. That was on Thursday. We did live reactions to it. And there will have been a What Happened At, both in video form and audio form. So hopefully you've checked those out. We have Ace Trainer Liam on What It Means to Me. I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Was that a sneeze or was that just a small scream?
It's just an unexpected sneeze. So go and check that out. He talks about an Abe's Odyssey or Abe's Exodus, I think it is. Mm. It's an Abe game.
It's an Oddworld game.
And he's a big Oddworld fan, so go check that out. And finally, Peter, it's another big lad.
Jurassic Park games ranked from worst to best.
In case you didn't get
why
that.
Why did you start the song at the very beginning? I don't know. The bit that everyone knows.
good. I didn't realize how long it was.
We stopped before we even got to the bit that everybody knows.
John Williams, it's your fault.
Was that all that we were singing?
Well,
no. What were you singing?
I was singing that.
You still got all the notes.
I was just doing what you
same
guys
song, were
doing.
Same song, but it was, yeah, I started.
It's just the slow.
I was going, I could have.
Welcome.
I could have started even further back where it's just.
And we would have been here for minutes.
Yeah. John Williams. Well done. Yeah. Jurassic Park games ranked from worst to best. There are more than you think. And a lot of them are bad.
Real stinky plops.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
Those lists always seem so negative, but
dinosaur.
I think it's just because...
Dinosaur.
Because statistically, games are a bit rubbish. Like, if you pick a big enough sample size, they're kind of...
There's a lot of bad stinkers before you get to the good stuff.
Yeah, so it always seems like we're being negative, but...
It's always Emma,
it's always biffing into the microphone. You can follow Emma at Emmalition on Twitter.
Yes,
by
you
the way.
Can. What was it that you described Emma as having earlier on?
A bunda.
A bunda. Can you talk us through that, please?
She's got a big bunda, which means she's got a nice juicy bum. This juicy. Emma.
Are you sure
not Emmalition, by the way.
Are you just, sure it's
well,
bum
she might
and
have
not
a bunda.
Tub? Because there's a, I mean, she's got a juicy tum.
She doesn't have a juicy bum.
She doesn't. No, that's
just flat.
That's completely
she
flat.
Does
which
not
is
have
fine.
A bunda,
it's all tum. It's all tum.
It's all tum.
And that's okay.
She's got a great big baloo. Oh, there she is. Oh,
she's on the watch microphone
the
again, Emma.
I can't see.
Look, hang on. I got an idea. There we go.
Oh, now, no.
Now she won't bash her snoot on it. So it'll be fine. Thank you so much for watching / listening, everybody. Check out all the content that's coming out and has come out this week. Jurassic Park is tomorrow, by the way, at the time of release on Sunday. Go watch it, and we'll see you all next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.